FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Today's show is brought to you by U.S. Gold Corp. U.S. Gold Corp is a U.S.-focused gold exploration and development company advancing high-potential projects in Wyoming and Nevada. U.S. Gold Corp has consolidated a district on Nevada's productive Cortex Trend and is advancing the Copper King project towards production in Wyoming. Led by a team of prolific company builders and renowned explorers, including Dave Mathewson, who is directly responsible for several major Nevada gold discoveries, U.S. Gold Corp is well-capitalized and has an extremely tight share structure with less than 20 million shares outstanding and trades on the NASDAQ, a major exchange, under the ticker symbol USAU. To learn more, go to usgoldcorp.gold. That's usgoldcorp.gold.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. It's 3/18/19, day after St. Patty's Day. Hope you all enjoyed. And, well, if you thought that the bar scene out of Star Wars was a good analogy for political parties and crazy get-togethers, well, the current outcrop of Democratic candidates really makes the Star Wars bar scene seem very normal and tame if you've seen any of them. It looks like anybody who can run for president and is a Democrat is running for president. And which one of the motley crew will prevail and get to face off against Donald Trump? Well, who knows? But usually money talks and Democrats walk right into the polling place when you give them the walking around money. Anyways, as always, we invite you to join the dialogue, the discourse, the discussion, be a part of the show. I really love reading your emails, kicking back, having that cup of Java in an undisclosed coffee shop here in northern Palm Beach County, and reading what you have to say. Well, let's hear what Dr. Gerard Lomero has to say. And you can find his info at greatnewsforamerica.com. And then we've got the new book out, moregreatnewsforamerica.com. We're looking at the lineup, the Democratic lineup for 2020. And I just have a feeling this will go down as the worst crop of candidates that ever got concocted in the history of elections in America. And there has been some doozies like Millard Fillmore, like the Whig Party. I'm thinking we need to bring back the Whig Party here. You know, Gerard, the Whig Party was populist in nature. They were anti-Masonic, which I had no idea about till I started researching them. And they were kind of anti-Jeffersonian, but they weren't really Federalist. So a lot of these failing Democratic cities, the last non-Democratic mayor they had was a Whig, and the Whig Party went out of existence in the 1850s. So what are we supposed to do here?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I predicted back in 2015 the Democratic Party would end. And I always said it's hard to put an exact date on it as you see a party kind of fall apart at the seams. But just as the Whigs ended, they didn't last forever. I think the Democratic Party is on the way out. I think 2020 is going to be the finale, the if you will, the last big event in the Democratic Party history. I think the particular set of candidates that are running are close to absurd in terms of people that are qualified to be president, and the stories are just one after another that are hard to believe. If we have time, we can muse over some of them.
Yeah.
But I do think the Democratic Party is going to end in 2021 as a result of a major loss in the House when it goes to a much more conservative House, and when Donald Trump is easily reelected with currently, in my model, 367 electoral votes.
Really? Well, you know what I find interesting? Okay, now I will admit up front that I'm Jewish, but I will tell you this: without the Jewish contingent in the Democratic Party, there will not be a Democratic Party. Okay, it will cease to exist just when the Jewish voters wake up and say, I'm not going to support a party that supports anti-Semites and people that want to eradicate Israel. And they've got three or four of these people there. Keith Ellison, they've got Omar, whatever her name is, Talib. And, you know, this is going to cause a humongous fracture in the party. And the Jews are eventually going to flee because these people show no signs of backing off on their anti-Semitic rantings.
That's absolutely correct. You know, the Jewish people have been very nice to the Democratic Party, supporting them when they didn't always strongly support Israel. But some of the current crop that's in there that are essentially sounding anti-Semitic as you can get and not being reprimanded by their own leadership and not being reprimanded by the House, because that's run by, you know, the Democratic Party, I think is a step in the wrong direction. And they're going to continue to lose support among Jewish folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. To the point the fracture is going to get really bad. And they think, oh, we will just make up the difference with the burgeoning Islamic minority. There's already as many Muslims as there are Jews in the country, but it's not that simple. The Jews, from law firms to professionals to advertising, PR, are so ingrained into the Democratic Party that if they withdraw, and a sizable portion, not all of them are going to, obviously, a sizable portion of them withdraw from the party, it will collapse almost immediately. It's just not going to survive a mass defection of Jewish voters. It won't. And the Jewish infrastructure, because they've always held the high-ranking positions in local parties around the country and in places like New York, in Chicago, in Boston, in Florida here. And can you imagine what would happen to the Democratic Party with a mass defection of Jewish voters? It would be Armageddon for them. Same to a lesser extent in California. So I think this is the death knell. I'm beginning to agree with you. I wasn't sure if you were going to be correct, but I'm beginning to agree with you.
That's what they all told me in 2016 when I kept saying Trump was winning. And they didn't believe me then.
You never heard that from me. You never heard that from me.
Yeah, I look at, right, exactly. I look at six or seven different variables that constitute whether or not a party is successful at the polls. And the Democratic Party, the numbers have been down and to the right on the variables that I study and that in my models, my forecasting models. So the party is going down. Any type of additional major loss, like, for example, the Jewish support, would be catastrophic and would just make it a snowball, you know, that goes out of control. It'd be an avalanche. It's going down right now. But if Jewish folks walk out in the next year or two, the avalanche is going to be unstoppable. It'll happen very quickly.
Yep. It's going to happen here because they're not willing to confront the anti-Semitism. It's been a story in a number of cities too for a long time, like Chicago. And, you know, it's just rising tide of anti-Semitism, wherever it might be emanating from, is going to be unbelievable. So when we're looking at this crop of candidates, if you want to call them that, it's a freak. Right. It's a total freak show, isn't it?
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, people would like to see sensible people, at least that have some type of sensible, even if it's liberal, point of view. But these people are just outrageous. You know, the green plan, you know, that sort of thing, which basically would put our economy in the tank. It would bankrupt our economy. With my economics background, I think it's all the wrong policies.
Yeah.
You know, the anti-energy efforts on their part. I mean, you go down the list, it's devastating to this country. We've seen price tags of up to over $100 trillion for a 10-year period. I don't think that captures the damage. I think we would be another Venezuela if these people were to take hold of the full reins of government and implement their wacko extreme socialist / communist policies.
I mean, yeah, these people it's are a
just
joke.
off the deep end.
Hey, we're, well,
economically,
Gerard, of course, we're going to be able to completely renovate and make energy compliant, green energy compliant, 2,000 to 3,000 structures per day, right? When even Howie Schultz, the former CEO of Starbucks, when he starts sounding rational and making sense, you got a big problem because people are truly insane.
Yeah, and he seems to be trying to sound a little warning sign to these people that how deep off the end they are, and they're taking the party with them. We know that there's a steady stream of people that are deserting the Democratic Party, even if they aren't changing their voter registration. They're just walking away. They have no intention of supporting any of these people. And the old school folks, you know, are being rejected by other Democrats, such as the millennials. So Joe Biden, for example, is not going to be nominated. Hillary Clinton, even though she'd love to be nominated, and says she isn't, but she really is running, she's not going to get nominated. And even them, they were pretty pretty off the deep end as well. These newest crop, though, are just totally unbelievable. They're just, and what's really amusing to a lot of folks is AOC, Ocasio-Cortez, actually is supposed to have a degree in economics, but she can't articulate the simplest economic concept there is. She doesn't seem to have any knowledge of what she's talking about.
She's a stooge.
I certainly haven't heard anything she said that makes sense in economics.
She's a complete stooge. She writes an awesome tweet, but outside of that, she has zero talent, zero intellect. You know, I get comments back, oh, you're just an old white guy talking about white guy problems. Don't, you know, you didn't give any argument why she's a moron. Look, anyone who supports Ocasio-Cortez and socialism, or anybody who supports socialism at this point in time, Gerard, you don't need to do the argument. It's like being against Nazism, all right? I don't need to prove that Nazism is evil to say that people that embrace it are not very bright. And it's the same thing with socialism.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The evidence is overwhelming. If you take a look at the evidence, the numbers, the theory is overwhelmingly against it. People by now know that if you support socialism or any of its variations, communism, Marxism, whatever ism you want to call it, it just plain is a disaster economically. And you know what else people don't give it due credit for in the negative sense? And that is, it also drives the country into moral bankruptcy. You have to have corruption to get around a socialist system. That's why there's so much immorality in terms of moral competency in so many areas. Why people lie, why people don't care. They break the laws all the time because that's how socialism works. If you want anything done, you got to break the law. And so it permeates the whole society.
Totally undermines it. And we don't even have to go into the Venezuela experiment. It's a bad science experiment that has failed miserably, put untold millions into awful suffering, declines in standard living. I mean, it's a great ad for Weight Watchers. It's a simple matter. If you want to lose weight, just eat less. And the millions of Venezuelans have proven that, haven't they?
They absolutely have. And I might also add that the most recent number I saw for their inflation rate is 1,000,000%. Inflation rate.
That's today. Tomorrow it could be 10 million, you know?
Yeah, that's unthinkable. Yeah. I mean, you have to spend the money before it gets into your wallet because it's the value drops so quickly. I mean, that's just devastating in that. And I think, you know, Venezuela is going to be overturned. I think the people are going to revolt. You know, the aid isn't getting in that we're trying to help get into this country. I think it'll be overturned. But why do we want to follow those kind of policies?
Yeah, they
why
never.
Why would the AOC and those other radical Democrats want to pursue that kind of foolish, foolhardy approach when most people don't want it?
No, it's proven to be a failure. But these millennials haven't learned the lesson, and they think history started the day they were born. up until the present time. They never look any further. And since we don't teach history or anything else useful in the majority of schools these days, their field of knowledge, their scope of their knowledge is so limited and so small. Yeah, they can play really great computer games and video games, but when it comes to life, real life, they don't really have any experience and any knowledge on which to interpret that experience. So yeah, we've got a big problem in education, and I'm just hoping that something happens major there. The homeschool movement, they're fighting it tooth and nail. Charter schools are fighting that tooth and nail. So all of this is kind of going to coincide with the collapse of the Democratic Party. You know, Gerard, I'm doing a research project now. You name me a failing city, and I will show you a city that has had one-party Democratic rule almost continually for 50 years or more. You know when the last Republican mayor was in Chicago?
I can't recall.
Well, put it this way, Al Capone was running the city at that point. They were just ending Prohibition, 1933. Wow. And every city that you can pick that is in decline in America has had almost nonstop blue Democratic rule going back to the 60s and before. Detroit, another example. I don't remember if it's 59 or 62, but that was the last time they had a Republican mayor. I'm not saying that Republican mayors are the cure for all that ails our cities. What I am saying is that there's a direct connection between Democrat mayors and the decline of our once great cities, because virtually all of these declining cities did so under Democratic non-leadership.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely correct. I don't remember each, you know, Republican former mayor in all these major cities, but you're right. Every example I can think of, it's true. And you see the cities that are run by Democrats continuing to do foolish things economically. For example, we have one city now on the East Coast that plans to give out the universal basic income to all their citizens. Now, Where are they going to pay for it? I don't think they've said.
Yeah.
But that's another silly thing. It hasn't worked in certain countries in Europe where they tried universal basic income. It's failed. They spent a fortune and nothing happened. It didn't do anything. Didn't solve any problems. I think Italy is just starting to do it now. And it's an idea whose time should come to completely erase it from the books. You know, like, why would anybody do that? It doesn't have any benefit. It's just another entitlement.
Yeah, I know.
With no benefit to the economy.
Hey, when do you think the last Republican mayor was in Cleveland? This was more recent than you might think. It was.
I honestly don't have that because I track more national office than I track mayors.
I know, but I think it's important. Actually, Voinovich from 80 to 89.
Oh, Voinovich.
Yeah.
Sure, I remember him.
And the one before him, he was only there for 5 years, 4 years, Ralph Perk, 72 to 77. But then you go back to 1942. And you could just Wikipedia this stuff, just any failed city. I did a cross check, 10 worst cities in the country, and it was really quite entertaining because the average one had gone 50 years without a Republican mayor. So, like I say, I'm
one
not saying
system.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that Republican mayors are the solution, because I don't think that's right. But what I am saying is that Democratic, solely one-party Democratic rule is the problem. St. Louis, Memphis, Little Rock, Springfield, Albuquerque, Oakland, Chattanooga, Pueblo, Baltimore, Anchorage. Okay, of those cities, all right, top 10 most dangerous cities, St. Louis, Memphis, Oakland, Baltimore, you know, have not had Republican mayors in years. Worst places to live, Detroit, Dayton, Cleveland, you know, all these places, no Republican mayors. So it's one party rule that causes this to happen. And the sooner people understand that, they, maybe we can get African Americans to desert the Democratic Party, too. I'm not in favor of two parties. I think the Republican Party, the elite, the country club, Chamber of Commerce guys are just as corrupt as the Democrats. They're just a different side of the corruption. I think splitting up of the party system, fracturing it, it'll, if the Democrats go down, Gerard, I'll make this prediction. The Republicans will go down right after them because they'll have no more reason to be.
Well, you know, they are going down. And part of my 2015 prediction, which I've updated, you know, each year, is that the Republican Party will change too dramatically. And I detail that in my last two books. I go through what I think is going to happen. But there's a fundamental thing that's going on here. And that is, I've researched presidential elections, which is my kind of sweet spot that I like to work on. And back 241 years, and every time you have a critical, historic presidential election, which 2016 was one of them.
Oh, for sure.
And that there are certain characteristics of those. One of the characteristics is that the parties basically realign themselves, and there's sort of a political upheaval in the party system, and they change dramatically. And yes, you go back to 1896, the party changed dramatically then. And 2016, the parties, you know, the cards were thrown up in the air, the deck of cards, and they're coming down. And one of the things is the Democratic Party is going out of business. A few years after 2016, I was hard-pressed to figure out what year, but now I think it looks like it's going to be 2021 for sure. The Republican Party, you're going to see a shift too, because yes, the Republican Party is becoming a much more conservative party. The establishment Republicans who have been running this party, the people, you know, the old school, you know, the John Kasich-type Republicans, yeah, and that, the Mitt Romneys and that, they're on the way out. Do you know that in 2018, November, there were 49 incumbent establishment Republicans who were anti-Trump policies, anti-Trump,
yeah,
who are no longer in the House.
That's a good
part
start.
Of the reason that the Democrats were able to take over temporarily.
Yeah.
And there are, believe it or not, 30 people who are pro-Trump policies that are now in the House.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a whole bunch of seats that the Democrats should not have won. And if the establishment Republicans had followed the people's will and yes, didn't sit on their hands for 2 years, the Republicans would have still held the House. But the party itself, the Republican Party, the establishment Republican Party, is almost shut down. And one of the things I'm predicting now for the 2021 election is that those establishment Republicans who can't stand Donald Trump, you know, the never Trumpers and the establishment ones like Mitt Romney and John Kasich,
yeah,
they're going to form an independent party. I think you're going to see Mitt Romney almost assuredly running for president.
Really?
With those kind of people like John Kasich supporting him. And I think that the Republican Party, as we know it today, will either change names, or if it doesn't change names, it's going to at least change its ideology to be a conservative party that supports things like the border wall and supports strong military, traditional conservative policies. So I think that's coming. The Democratic Party is going to go out of business. The radicals, the Star Wars bar scene gone awry, those people are going to join the Socialist USA Party, the Green Party. Maybe the Democrat Socialists of America, which is a 501c3, will change into a party to give them a home. But they're going to be such a fringe that they can't elect national folks to office like a president. And so you're going to see them essentially shunted to the side. That's what, yeah, I see going forward.
Well, that's what happened to the Whig Party, Gerard. They were really good in the cities, urban-wise. They had, mm-hmm, three presidents, one of,
right,
whom they excommunicated after he became president, Millard Fillmore, but two other ones, both of whom died in office, interestingly enough, William Harrison and who was it? Zachary Taylor, both Whigs, although Zachary Taylor wasn't a devout Whig. And they both died in office. Interesting, huh? So,
yeah. And that was back in the early 1800s where they flourished, the Whigs flourished. Yeah.
Before there were conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
For good reason, and a good thing there weren't, because, you know, we could go down the list.
Both parties are going to look nothing moving forward.
Agreed.
2022, 100%. 2024, they're going to look different.
Could not agree with you more, Gerard. Hey, we got to take off. Just tell us. So, greatnewsforamerica.com. How do we get your new book?
All the books are selling on Amazon. They're selling, and they also sell in a Kindle version. If you want to read print, they're print. If you like Kindle, you like electronics, you can get that too.
Hey, if you want the thing to read for you, you can do that as well. You know, it's amazing what you could do now. Hey, I love your work, Gerard. It's always great
talking to you.
You know, like so many of us, we had our blinders on for a lot of years what these political parties were really about. And now Trump, he's the great unveiler, the great unmasker, and he's shown them all for what they are, right?
Absolutely. And the media is beside themselves because they always were able to destroy people they didn't agree with. They haven't been able to destroy him. By the way, his presidential approval rating is higher in my forecast models than in the polls right now. And he's up at 55% approval.
Wow. Amazing. Well, hey, Gerard, always a pleasure. By the way, guys, if you're listening on the podcast or on YouTube, please subscribe, like, and share. It really helps me a lot when you do that. Really helps get the message out, get the word out. Really good thing. So please do it. And you get to hear people like Gerard that you're just not going to hear from the good old MSM because they don't want you to hear. It's that simple. Hey, Gerard, always a pleasure. Can't thank you enough for coming on. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
You've got a great program. I love it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.